ditty about pickleball, an addicting game that's fun for all. I really want to be a pickleball star. Some say I can't, they say it's too hard. Oh yeah, pickleball. Of all the racket games, it's the most fun of all.
Welcome to another episode of Pickleball Chat. I'm Alex, and as always, we have Donna and Kitty, where we talk about all things pickleball. Ladies, how are you doing?
Great.
Hello.
How are you doing, Alex? How are you doing lately, Dee Dee?
Hey, I want to be a pickleball star. Oh. How about that song? I love it.
Every time I hear it, I smile.
Yeah. Frank came up with that one. I give him credit on that.
And I always imagine him singing it for some reason, even though he told me he doesn't sing.
I love it. Listening to it always gets me in the mood.
Yeah, it does. So, how have you been digging lately?
Well, I haven't been digging as much as I should.
No. You haven't been around.
Week.
We haven't played all week.
I have.
No,
wait,
but
is me and you.
Oh, we have
digging
it.
Digging slang for playing pickleball?
Dinking.
Oh, dinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just little
it's
short,
short
hits.
Shot. Yeah, the real arcing it over.
Makes
the
you
net.
Look so professional when you do it. We did a little bit in our charity event, but
yes.
I don't really want to talk about that too much.
Well, we got schooled. We got schooled pretty good.
We did terrible. That's what she's saying.
Well, you know, there were two sets. There was the intermediates, there were the beginners. Well, we weren't classified as beginners. We were put in the intermediates. But we played with a lot of high intermediates. And that's
excuses,
good.
Excuses.
No, it's not an excuse. I mean, it's good because it's
challenges
a challenge.
You.
Right.
Yeah. It
were
was
they,
all
were
for
they
charity.
All local?
Yeah,
for
it was
the most part.
Was
I
it
think
local?
They were local.
Oh, sure.
The people that you played
oh,
against.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was what was it benefiting?
It was benefiting the National Honor Society at the Collegiate High School at Florida Southwestern College.
Nice.
And they were good kids.
They
organized it really well. And afterwards, we had wings and drinks. And we didn't stay for the prizes.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What'd you win?
There was some paddles given away, and I didn't win anything.
Aww.
But four people won based on their cards.
Okay. Yeah. You got a, after you played your match, you played till 12 minutes.
Six games of 12 minutes.
Yeah.
In each game, you got either one card or two, depending if you won or lost.
Right. And they were good players, so these six games were tough games. You know, we ran a lot.
It didn't matter if we stunk anyway, because you got the card.
Right. But they got two cards.
Right. So then in the end, it just came to your hand.
Right.
But that's a good way to play, because then you're not the competitive stuff that some people experience, which I think sometimes can be negative, didn't exist.
No.
Only within our own heads, maybe.
and that brings us to the topic of today.
Yeah.
What do you want to have in your head when you play pickleball?
She's like, want to talk about the psychology of pickleball? And I'm like, I guess.
Well, you know, there's a physical part of every game, and there's the mental part of every game. And you've heard of The Inner Game of Tennis. That was a famous book. And I know one of the things that I work on with my quote-unquote mental game is to underreact, which I very much need to work on. I think you'll agree. I think you'll recall that when you've gotten kind of frustrated with me at times when we played, because I get so down on myself.
Yeah, you get negative almost.
Exactly, and it's a bad thing for your pickleball game. I get hard on myself and I blame myself. And you know, I got to tell you something I've been meaning to share with you, but I haven't. I played with somebody like that once who was really down on himself. I mean, after every shot, he'd cuss and swear. And I thought, man, this is a drag. And a little light went off in my head. Yeah, Kitty, that would be you. I've really been trying to work on it, though.
So
and I think I'm getting better.
By game two, she wasn't cursing so much, and she wasn't saying, Catherine Ann.
Francis.
Oh, whatever.
My formal name.
Even sometimes, I think one time it was funny, she hit a shot, and it wasn't quite what she needed to do to put the to have the person miss, and the person got it and said, good try, you almost got me, or something like that. And you go, well, that was the point. And I go, Kitty, don't start. Please don't start.
Well, what's the point?
She was so mad because she was playing so bad.
Thank you.
Well, we were playing. You know, so it was a we.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was still fun, but it took you a couple games to calm down and just have fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do try to do things that I do well, and when I can't, it's frustrating for me, but it certainly doesn't help me improve. So I have been trying to work on that.
So maybe in a way, the psychology of the game, I choose to avoid, because that's the very reason why I don't want to play in competitions. Because I don't want the mental game to be bad. And like you just said, you don't like playing with someone that has a bad attitude or whatever. I don't like how people's personalities change.
That's what you say, their personality changes.
And it's just not fun. I have one brother who's very competitive, and he can crush most people just because he's got a skill set that's above the average. But he is miserable on himself. Mm-hmm. Screams, throws things, everything.
I got a couple brothers
like that.
And that's
not fun playing with someone like that.
Yeah, I got a brother like that, believe me. And he, you know, and him and I competed all our life. And I remember one time he yelled to my dad because we were playing badminton and I won. So my dad got out the camera and had me flash the victory sign. And he was so upset. He's screaming, "Name one thing she can do better than me. Name one thing she can do better than me." No, wow. So I mean, I grew up very competitive, and my dad kind of fostered it in us.
Yeah.
Because he was competitive.
I mean, it's good to have healthy competition, no question. And I know, seriously, that's what you're trying to talk about with the psychology of this game. But I truly am in it for the fun of it. It's so different, even though I love to win. I'm not, like, obsessed to win, and I don't really want to compete at a higher level. I just want to play with my friends.
But I think, you know, I don't
You
think
don't want that aggression to come into something that right now is fun
so
for
fun.
You.
So fun. And you can bust people. You can do stuff that... Like, I've talked a few times during the game, like, within our own team. Like, I'll, like, hit it and go, "Ready for this?" And I'll be, and you're not supposed to do that. If I was playing in the tournament, I could get penalized for that. But I do it to bust people, you know, and just have fun.
But, I mean, let's take out that word psychology.
Okay.
Let's just say the mindset. And I think that the mindset of playing good pickleball is the same as the mindset of having a good life. Positive reinforcement instead of negative. You say to yourself, you don't say, "I'm not going to serve the ball into the net." You say instead, "I'm going to serve this ball 6 inches to 12 inches over the net. It's going to go deep, and I'm going to hit it to their backhand." It's positive reinforcement, not negative.
That's true. It should
and
be.
I've used that in my life in other things, like, okay, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette with this martini. Instead, I say, "I am a non-smoker, even when I drink martinis." See what I mean? You see what the difference is? It's a mindset thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. It is like life. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
You know, and that, really, being positive is the best. And I admit I sometimes have trouble with it, and it's because of the fierce competition I grew up with and the expectations I put on myself. And I like to win.
So what I hear you saying, Kitty...
Catherine Ann Francis.
If you're going to play and have more fun... And less hardship on yourself. You're going to be critical of yourself and yell at yourself. You're just going to enjoy it and try to get your game better.
I've been trying to do that.
Okay,
more,
good.
But I failed yesterday. I got into a little scrap with an opponent.
Uh-oh.
But we made up afterwards. We were both in the heat of the game. And, you know, as Renee said, we weren't even listening to each other because
she said something
that I thought she said something else and vice versa. And I said to myself, "Why, you know what, Kitty, let it go. It's not worth it." But that brings me to another point about the mental game, which is subconscious versus conscious. You need to do your strokes, your hits, your strategy over and over and over so it becomes subconscious.
True.
It's kind of like tying a shoe. Do you think about it when you tie your shoe?
No.
No, you don't think about it. And
bunny ear, tie.
No, I never
finally stopped saying that.
Oh, no, bunny ear. You've stopped already, Alex. Well, she's young.
Not that young.
You know, so that's where the skills and drills comes in. You do it over and over and over to the point where you don't have to think about it. And I've been watching myself and noticing in my games that when I hit the best shots when I'm not thinking about it, when I just,
Really?
You've hit some serves and you're like, "I have no idea where that came from."
Because you're just doing it.
Yeah.
You're not thinking it, and overthinking will kill your game.
That's true. I agree with that one, too. See how much we agree on things?
Yes, today we do. How lovely. So it's like make no judgments either. Right. When you're done, the play is over. Move on. Don't berate yourself. Just move on and learn from your mistakes in your head.
Yeah. So even like if, for example, a ball's called out that really isn't out and you know it isn't out, I just for a second am like disappointed, but it's like big deal. You'd be like strewing on it, and you'd be like ready to kill someone.
I focus on it more when it happens more than once, which I shouldn't, but I do. And that's kind of what started yesterday, this whole thing.
I'm glad I didn't witness
it. Because I called two of my opponent's balls out, and clearly to me, they were out. One was a serve. The second one was a serve. And she would say to my partner, was that out?
To get you guys to disagree. And if you disagree, they get the point.
Well.
It's true.
But I took that personally. I said, of course it was out, or I wouldn't have called it that way.
But what did your partner say?
I'm not getting into this.
Oh, see?
He was a man playing with three women. Oh. He goes, I'm not getting into this lady stuff.
Wise man. Yeah. But the rule is, if the two people on the same side disagree,
I know,
they give the point to the other side. So one time I saw it happen with Kathy and Julie, because Julie wasn't seeing it clearly, I think, and Kathy called her. Kathy was playing with her, and Kathy's like, nope, that was in. Sorry, you guys get that point. She just was like, I'm not going to let this keep happening.
Right. Right. So, well, I really do, when I don't know, I really do give it to the other side.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. And that's why it kind of, you know, irritated me, because I'm not one of those players who calls it out if I'm not sure.
But the new you...
Pardon me?
The new you.
The new you after
the new
today.
Me. The new me.
Well, how are you going to behave now?
That one I got to think about. No, I mean, I'm just going to let it go.
Positive, let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about the psychology of getting into the opponent's head?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, obviously, if you see somebody's flustered, hitting it to them, and if you see what shot they missed on, that they were flustered.
Repeating it. So, Donna, you mentioned something about verbally saying something, and that's not allowed. Is there no...
So once you're playing and hitting the ball back and forth, and you're basically engaging in that volley, the rules have I think they call it distraction.
Right.
And so if I, like when I'm playing with my friends, sometimes it's close or whatever, and I'll go, that's it, I'm done with this. Or I'll say it right when we're playing because I'm just being funny. But technically it's distracting. They could call it and say my point or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake one day of doing it with some people that I didn't really know, and the woman said something. She goes, you actually can't do that. Just like one time I caught a serve. It was out.
Yeah, you can't
do that. I just grabbed it. If it was in a tournament, you can't catch the serve, even though it's out.
Right.
I just caught it, and she goes, I've never seen anyone do that. And I'm like, well, you never played with me.
Keep playing with me. You might see a few other things.
So you could get into your opponent's head in between serving.
Yeah, you could. I don't think that would be a distraction. Like, you could say something.
Oh.
You never have that. I've never seen that.
No. I mean, maybe pros, when they practice with each other, might do it.
Even some of the rules for, like, tournaments, you can't even engage with someone outside the fence.
Right. Because
they consider that coaching.
Right.
So, I mean, they really don't want you really talking at all,
mm-hmm.
but you can talk. But
to your partner. You communicate with your partner. You know, that's very key. And I think that is one of the keys of which we got a little bit on last time, and we thought we might talk about some more, is being a 3.0 to a 3.5 player. Moving up to a 3.5 is communicating with your partner.
Yeah.
And I'm always torn about that, because I would like to say to my partner before each game, look, move up with me, stay with me, we move together at the net, you know, think of the bungee cord.
Yeah, well, that's the skills and drills thing that you ingrain in your head.
I don't say it to people, because I feel like if I don't know them, and even then, people I don't know, because I think they might think I'm coaching them or trying to tell them what to do.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you really have to know someone to, because some people don't like to be told. But to me, that's one of the things they do teach you in skills and drills, but it's really no different than, you have these conversations all the time throughout the game. Why can't that be one of them?
Meaning what?
With your opponent, with your partner.
Yeah, that's true.
One day we were playing, and I said, Kitty, you have to watch when they serve to me, because if it's out, you have
right,
to call it.
Right.
One time I was playing with...
But I didn't know that time if it was out right. or in. That's why I didn't call
it. It's your job, actually, to watch.
Yeah, I know.
One time I was playing with Ginny, and she actually... I don't even know if she's the 3.5, but she's good, and I like playing with her and her husband. She was like... I think it came way on... like my right side, and she was playing to my left, and she goes, covered, switch. And then she started talking to me, and I just switched automatically. She covered the next ball on my side, and then she goes, let's go back. And I was like, whoa, I never did that with anyone.
Which is good.
That was communicating.
Right. That's good communication. Definitely. And you know who's really good at, like, playing Zen-like is Lynn Coe.
Oh, really? Oh. I've not played with Lynn.
No, you got to watch her play.
Okay, I've seen her play in tournaments.
She makes it look effortless, because she's done a lot of drilling in her days. And so she is in her subconscious. And she's hitting those balls, I believe, because she's hit them so many times.
Okay, so she's this repetitive.
Yeah, and keeping the ball in play is...
Is she a 4.0 player? I'm not sure, 3.5?
I think she's at least 4 or more.
Okay.
She won the golds in her... at the pickleball championship down in Naples.
Oh, wow.
Whatever that one's called. She won the gold there in her age division. She's more than 70 years old.
She is?
Yes.
Holy cow.
And she won with mixed.
She is an old lady, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you heard me say that.
Well, that's all relative, beauty.
I know. Obviously, I didn't know she was.
Alex thinks we're old ladies. So.
We are.
Get used to it.
Might as well accept it.
Right.
So what are the two of you ranked currently?
Well, we have never been professionally ranked. But
yeah, we're self-rankers.
I mean, I'd say I'm a solid 3-0 heading to 3-5. I'm trying. I mean, I think I'm closer to 3-3.
So I think PRP is going to do a skill where they evaluate you. And I like that idea, because I think there are standards and guidelines. They are out there, and you have to achieve so many of these things, and someone really that was evaluating you could watch so many lobs, so many this, so many that. But we don't do that I know of, but I've heard that we're going to have something where
they did it once and
they try to rank
again.
People.
And the thing is that I guess I kind of lost faith in that, because these people I played with all the time went and they were both rated the same, and I knew from playing them that one was a lot better. But that's where the 3 to 3.5 is so much. There's so much area between a 3.0 and a 3.5. So it's 3.2, 3.3, 3.4.
Right, that's what I mean.
But there's a big
matter.
Difference between a 3.4 and a 3.0.
Right, but if you play in tournaments and you find out, say you ranked yourself as a 3.0 and you should have been a 3.5, you start winning every single tournament.
Right.
You know then you've misranked yourself. You got to move yourself up.
True.
So there's a check and balance
that
we have to be honorable about, but... Because at this point, we are kind of guessing in a sense.
We are, but then there's the sandbaggers.
Well, there will always be sandbaggers. And you know what? All the power to them.
People that are 4.0 and they play in the 3.0 so they can medal.
But that
it's
can't go on forever.
It's just disappointing, you know. But my new Zen, let it go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let it go, Kitty.
Start now. So we have some tournaments coming up. I actually saw on the news, and I don't think it
was
me. Someone texted me 5 o'clock this morning saying they saw me on Wink News. I saw a very little piece of it, and it wasn't me. So I think she mistook it. But it was an advertisement for the big tournament coming up at the end of December, and it was for Pickleplex. And I did see Ted in it.
Oh, did you?
The little snippet I caught might have only been a minute long.
Right,
had Ted in it.
Oh, so it's a commercial.
It's a little advertisement,
Okay, it's an ad, okay. Because I know that last night they were promoting, I mean, at 6 o'clock they promoted coming up at 10. They said, is Southwest Florida the pickleball capital of the world? And I
thought,
cool. Well, I think because we're having the world championships here, a reporter got
we're
that
We're trying
in
to
mind.
Become that. I love that. I'm going to take
I know.
That.
That would be
mind.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Kitty and Donna reporting from the pickleball capital of the world. Sounds so cool.
Now that cracks me up.
So next week, we'll probably be at a stage where we're going to be talking about that tournament.
Yeah, next show. Yeah, because
and we have VIP seats.
We
woo-hoo!
Do on the last day to see all the real players play.
We had to buy them, though. Well, someone had to buy them.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. I like to give money to pickleball and to have more tournaments here. We're also volunteering, so we're giving more than money. We're giving our time, so and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it sounds really fun.
Yeah, December 27th through the 30th. And the night before, on December 26th, there's going to be a little party at the Tiki Bar, the Sheraton, down there on the water. Appetizers, drinks. And I thought, on the 27th, be there to work at the VIP tent. I can't party too much on the 26th. I got to keep it on the low.
Yeah.
No martinis and cigarettes that night.
How about just a martini then?
Well, maybe. How about a beer? So what else is coming up?
So we've got two big tournaments. We've got the ribbon cutting tournament in January.
Right.
That's one that Peace River Picklers is overseeing.
Right. It's the Peace River Pickler. It's the Pickleplex grand opening.
It is.
Yeah.
But the Peace River Pickler volunteers are.
Yep. Me and you.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering that one too.
Yeah.
Court monitoring. Kathy and I.
Yeah. I'll be doing it also. Yeah. So that's two big things. It's actually busy next couple months.
It is. And you're going on a cruise in January, and you know cruises have pickleball now.
Well, the one I'm on, I researched it, does not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even going to reveal which line it is, but I will have some words with them when I'm on to see if that's something in their future.
Right. Well, I went on Holland America, and they said they had it. They even had it in their itinerary, you know, every day at this time go up. I went up to the top deck where they're supposed to have it. I couldn't see where any court was.
They have miniature golf, so they could replace the miniature golf. No offense, children, but there's some new sports you can learn.
Right. Yeah, well, the young kids are starting to like it, so that's good.
Do you guys have any current updates on the enlarging of Pickleplex, the addition of the new courts?
Where are
we on that? So what we know is there's phases to this complex. I think there's three phases. There's actually a map, a really nice map showing what currently exists there, which is phase one, and the other phases. And from what I understand, it's not public knowledge, the timeline, but the concept is they've got to get the financial position of phase one in a budgetable area where they've come up with, and when they've done that, then they'll move to phase two. So it's all based on the financials.
So they're still paying for phase one is what you're
they
saying.
They are.
Okay. And then we start fundraising for phase two.
Correct.
Gotcha. And how many courts?
Hey, that's actually an idea. Maybe on a future broadcast, we can invite some guests from Pickleplex.
I would like that.
That'd be a great idea to close on. And we'll consider maybe that as something in the future.
Okay, well, keep on pickling, Dee Dee.
All right.
I love you dinking, girl.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Pickleball with Kitty and Donna.